Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. You can send your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. You can also find us on the following social sites: USA.life, MeWe, Parler, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Linktree, and Pure Social. You can listen to our shows by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And you can also find Warn Radio on the following streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. And do not miss these posts on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. A seasoned tale of redemptive truth. It relates the events in prose form. Hear the truth of redemption, the garden, and even the keeping of seasons of celebration as humans are reflected around one fact. Also, they were enemies, priests, scribes, elders who rejected the Messiah. It was the day priests, scribes, and the elders were enemies of the Savior. And don't miss these classic Warn Radio shows on warn-usa.com. Abrahamic Promises Faith Series. It is in separate episodes. It's the life of Abraham. It can be viewed of the context of many nations and peoples that he affected in many ways. Also, the Golden Cup Judgment, Flee Babylon. The Golden Cup Judgment finds the people facing a turbulent time. Here the Jewish people were told to flee Babylon. And Volatile World on Edge. The Volatile World on Edge proves that we move even closer to an apocalyptic end, yet dramatic conversions continue today. Be sure to get the WIBR Warn Radio newsletter by going to Dana Glenn Smith, and there you can sign up to get our newsletter. And you can visit our Christian books and resource shop on danaglennsmith.com. We feature Christian books and other resources from our Visions Media. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, we're doing good. And up front tonight, we're going to be talking a little bit about Erdogan. You know, this goes back to the war when ISIS was going through the Middle East. You remember that?
Right. Yes, I do.
When they went through Syria and then they went up towards Kobani. Mm-hmm. And you had the Kurds up there, which are related to the other Kurds, which make up the PPK. And Erdogan hates all of the PPK and the Kurds over in Syria. And there's also another group over in Iraq. And, of course, in Iraq, these are the very same ones that Saddam tried to get rid of by using chemical weapons. Yep. Well, at the end of April, it came in that the news, and we knew, it's been in the news for a long time now, that Turkey's been targeting, you know, the PPK. Well, see, Erdogan doesn't have any problem with the genocide that Turkey did under the Ottoman. And during that time, and we'll get into that.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, well, it is, because, you know, Turkey's been, you know, really cracking down. And we've saw Pastor Brunson. We've seen a lot of people getting kicked out of there. And at the end of April, it was reported that Turkish forces have used chemical weapons in northern Iraq three times.
Oh,
and so,
that's horrible.
You know, the thing of it is that when the ISIS came into Syria and went up to Kobani and was going to destroy it, they had that was one of the places. They never destroyed it, never defeated the Kurds up there. But Erdogan had his army of tanks up over the hill watching, waiting for ISIS to destroy them. And, you know... And
that is wicked.
Yeah, it is wicked. And there was even reporters killed. The Turkish forces, nobody really knows which side shot them, but they got killed. One woman that was a reporter, and we were covering this at the time. Now, and so they call it the terrorist organization, the PKK. Well, it's all part of the Kurdistan communities. And see, the Armenian genocide anniversary was something that we talked about not too long ago. And Turkey, according to the Kurdistan communities, which suffered at the hands of this genocide, that Turkey was now going to do the same thing to PKK. Now, see, what happened is this. See, and you know, this is really something, because the Kurds over in Kobani and that whole area, and even into northern Iraq, were helping Christians and other Muslims and anybody else that were being affected by ISIS. And they intervened. And they saved a lot of lives. Now here, the message, according to the Kurdistan, is it's your turn. You know, we killed off the Armenians. We're going to kill you off. And you know, we're living in the end of days. And this is going to be one of the par things, and that is ethnic cleansing.
Yep.
And it's not going to go away. And if you look in America, we're on borderline that right now, because they're targeting race time and time again. And so at any rate, among this, see, all these Assyrians during the time, and this is in order to get out of Turkey, you see, and out of Turkey's way. So they went into an area of the Kurdistan to live because they were safe there. And although the Christians, the Assyrian Christians, but the Syrian Christians weren't bothered by PKK or the Kurds that were living there. But what happened was they were targeting them. They were targeting the PKK. And what happens is a lot of the poor Christians were there. And many of them had gone to the area after the 1915 Assyrian genocide. And they remained there ever since because it was safer, out of harm's way, away from Turkey. Well, now Turkey is extending a hand over the border to get them. And, of course, nobody does anything from Iraq.
They
well, probably
they should.
Can't, they, well, they can't do anything. And of course, right in the way is what? Poor rural Christians.
Yeah.
And they've had their homes destroyed at the hands of Turkey. Well, in this latest incident, and this is what wraps it up, residents of a certain village started fleeing the violence because it was getting so close. And as they went to another home, another town, not too many miles away, a Turkish artillery shell fell after they arrived. And so, you know, the big problem of it is some of them are just piling their belongings in the yard and leaving to find refuge somewhere. And we've seen this throughout the Middle East, in Libya, Syria, Iraq, where, especially Syria and Iraq, in areas where they just left. And of course, you've got the Assyrian, you got the Chaldean churches, both of those being devastated. So, this is Erdogan. You know, a lot of people, many years ago, Marzulli and I talked about some of these people that would play an important role in the end of days, and Erdogan was on the list, Turkey was. And so it's one of those things. Erdogan is not one of those that to turn the other cheek, so to speak.
Nope.
And I was talking at this last one about race. And CBN News ran an article not too long ago about a father removing his daughter from school. And guess where it's at?
New York City.
Yeah. What's that barbecue? Oh, hot sauce. The old Pace commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, hot sauce from New York City.
New York City?
Yeah, we feel the same thing today after this mess during COVID and during the crackdowns and all the, you know, well, we're going to dismantle the police and it, you know, it's the white man's fault and we're going to do away with everything. I mean, give me a break. You people are nuttier than a frickin' fruitcake.
Yeah.
You know, Christ didn't die on the cross for the color of the sin. He died because of the sin in the hearts of people.
That's right.
And if you want to continue blaming the skin, you're going to be one of those who have failed to understand that it's not the skin, it's that which is within.
That's right.
You're going to be found guilty. Because your skin is not going to save your butt, nor your soul. And so Harvey Goldman is the father, and he was on Tucker Carlson some time ago. He said they are teaching these kids terrible things and teaching them to feel bad about themselves, and it's really awful. And this is, as if kids don't have enough, this is your white privilege in a liberal city.
Yeah.
And you have all these liberals that get these high-paying jobs. They come in there and they take these little kids and pound it full of them, you know.
Garbage.
Yeah. Well, he went down to Florida.
Yeah, because he said they were teaching the kids to feel bad about the color of their skin and who they are.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
You're supposed
to be lifting the kids up. It's not about the color of the skin. It's about teaching them good things. But these teachers are so corrupt now. All they're hell-bent on destroying the children.
Well, you know, it's just the thing it is. And, of course, in Florida, where they're now, they've never heard of the critical race theory and don't teach it.
That's good.
Governor Ron DeSantis there in Florida, which is really a good governor. Hope he stays there. I think he's already signed something to keep it out of the public schools.
Yeah, he said there's no room in our classroom for things like critical race theory. Teaching kids to hate their country and to hate each other is not worth one red cent of taxpayer money. Yeah, that's right.
And, of course, the whole thing is Marxist ideology.
Yep.
And matter of fact, a lot of America is today, because of the political situation, is facing Marxist ideology. And, you know, there's one reason that we have a lot of these issues today. That's because sin has never been considered a threat in America. Our churches haven't considered it. They haven't considered the fact that judgment would happen. And make no mistake about it, when you have a disregard for sin and how you live, God will allow your enemies to come in. You know?
That's right.
You know, the thing, what does it say? Scripture says that it's the Lord who keeps the city. But if you reject the Lord, he ain't going to keep the city or the nation.
That's right.
You know, we're definitely not one nation under God. We're one nation under a lot of things, but not under the true and living God. We have people here that are under the true and living God, but not this nation. And
unfortunately not. I think America's under judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
Yep.
So at any rate.
Well, this father made a... You know, he said in his letter he wrote to the school, "First and foremost, neither I nor my child have white privilege, nor do we need to apologize for it. Suggesting I do is insulting. Suggesting it to my 9-year-old child, suggesting it to a 9-year-old child, does cause child abuse. You know, he considers it child abuse, not education. And that's true.
Well, you know, another thing came up with this was about Megyn Kelly, that she and her husband decided they were going to pull their kids out of a private Manhattan school. She says, "We loved our schools." She was talking to Bill Maher. "We loved our teachers, loved the students, the faculty and parents, and they were definitely leftists. We are more center right, but that was fine. My whole family are Democrats." But then they went hard left, and then they started to take a really hard turn toward just social justice stuff. And some of the content her children were being taught was divisive and counterproductive.
It's a good thing they got their children out of there.
Well, you know, if they don't deal with this, if the Biden administration continues to push this nonsense, you know, if you look up in Congress, you've got everything that says Muslim ideology and a socialist regime. Everything is there.
You're right.
And, you know, the bottom line of it is that this has been a threat worldwide. The UK defeated the attack of socialism, and America needs to do something. But if we continue messing around like this, you're going to lose your country. And you're not going to lose it because of Marxism. You're going to lose it because of sin and iniquity and a number of other things that we refuse to repent of.
That's right.
And that's all there is to it. I've been talking about this for many, many years. So, you know, that's just the way it is.
It's tragic.
Now, I put this in here, this next one. It's on COVID, and it's about Canada. And the thing that we wanted to do is bring it out again, because the pastor that's involved in this, and there was others, I think, involved as well, were released not too long ago. And when he was released, the day he was released, he stood up and warned all the churches speaking to Canada that they're going to come for you.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Tower.
Well, this happened in last month. It happened in April, where the a Christian church and the government, they battled, and it escalated. And the congregants are fighting for their right to worship in prison. and the authorities locked the church doors. The Attorney General's office requested that law enforcement lock the church doors, and they wouldn't even let him in to record a sermon. And this comes after Waterloo police issued tickets to people leaving Trinity following a church service on April 25th. And they were given the tickets for attending the worship service due to violation of the Reopening Ontario Act. The enforcement is a result of recent amendments to provincial legislation that allows officers to stop an individual believed to be violating COVID-19 related orders. And Trinity Bible Chapel has already been fined $83,000 by the Ontario Superior Court of Justice following an in-person service in January with more than 10 people. Pastor Jacob, I'm not sure how to say his last name, has expressed frustration in a recent blog. With mounting fines and increasing threats from the state for asserting the crown rights of Jesus over his church and his worship, we find ourselves in the center of conflict for liberty. The threat we faced in March motivated many Christians to fearfully look to the state for salvation. Instead of salvation, they found bondage. And Trinity Bible Chapel lawyer Lisa Bidley said the actions taken against the house of worship are grievous and unfair. Honestly, I find this a sad situation for this church and for this country about locking doors because people want to worship in person. They don't want to disrespect you and the orders of the court, but are deeply convicted people. And this Kara Zweibel of the Canadian Civil Liberties Association says the decision to lock a church's doors is unusual. Freedom of religion is interpreted by the court is a concept that really focuses on what the individual subjective and sincerely held beliefs are. If I am someone who sincerely believes that practicing my religion requires me to be in a congregation with a group of worshipers, then generally the court will take me at my word. But now it's been reported that one pastor was fined $5,000, another pastor was fined $4,000, and each of the church elders were ordered to pay $3,000. And the Trinity Bible Chapel by itself was fined $15,000. And was also directed to pay $45,000 to cover the court costs of the ministry of the Attorney General. I think they just ought to stop this nonsense, the courts.
Well, it's a way to raise money.
Yeah.
And also to crack down. You know, the bottom line of it is that Christians around the world are having their rights violated. And in America and in Canada or any other place, it especially in the West, and I classify Canada and the West, a lot of us in these countries have lived a life for the Lord, and we haven't had to worry about any kind of persecution. But the bottom line of it is, there's nothing in Scripture that tells you that you have to be in a church building. And on top of that, there's nothing that can stop you from worshiping the Lord. Now, see, when you get right down to it, if you follow the persecution that we do on these shows, Christians can't even think about the Lord. They can't even sing songs in their homes in some places. They can't have more than their own family in there, or they think they're having church. There's a lot of silly, stupid, moronic laws that people are enforcing, and they're enforcing it in North Korea and in China and a lot of other places, including India and things like this. And so it's not unusual when you look up to Canada and see that they went with this COVID thing. America did too. And, you know, frankly, California, New York, they don't give one iota about your freedom of religion rights. You can kiss their patootie because they don't care. And it's about time that y'all understood something, that this is not the America that it used to be. The people that are running it now are corrupt. Biden is corrupt as the day is long. His administration, they are immoral. They are godless. They don't belong there. And I defy any preacher, any pastor, any evangelist to define otherwise, because I disagree with them.
Yeah.
These people cheated to get in. But see, there's also another thing to this. While I say that, there's a reason that it's like that, and that's because of the sins of the nation. And so you have to give credence that there is a reason why this is happening. And there's also another reason. We are in the end of days, and these things are going to happen. And, you know, you look in North Korea, those people have been that way for years and years and years. And Kim Jong-un's family, came out of it as mere gods in the eyes of the North Koreans. But this whole thing came out of persecution of Christians before it got to the Yun family. So this thing is, you know, you look around the world, many people in the West have been blinded to this stuff.
Yes, they have. That's sad.
Now, we do have, coming out of Washington, D.C., this is International Christian Concern. And I didn't download the International Religious Freedom Report. There's a number of organizations that file reports on the state of the world in various regions. This outlines the status of religious freedom and persecution. And the State Department, though, came out and condemned, because they apparently had read that, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, and China for the continued abuses, and ensured that the U.S. would continue to address religious freedom issues. And, of course, this is such a bunch of nonsense. Nigeria, you know, not one mention of North Korea. Not one. North Korea is the worst.
Yeah.
China.
For several years, like...
For a long
20
time.
20 years, maybe, they've been on the number one for the worst countries.
Saudi Arabia is a friend of the United States. They're not the worst. Nigeria has been more the worst than any others, as far as bloodshed, persecution, and people dying. China, guess what? Under Trump, Trump was doing something, and under Biden, you know, they're planning on marrying over in China. They're planning on kissing it up, boy. They like their Chinese goods. And today the news came out that Biden says we're going to beat China in the electric car thing. You know, we're going to, you know, our green energy. Well, you can keep your electric car. And the reason that you can keep your electric car, I had a photo that I put on one of our private chats. It was from Paris, France. And this had a whole acreage of several acres of small little cars that were identical. They were all electric cars from France that no longer work because they could never charge the battery correctly. After a while, they go bad.
And they can't afford to buy a new battery because it costs more than the car. So now they're sitting on this boneyard.
Yeah. And there's no way I'm interested in it, not out here in America. And see, this is what happens when you have liberals that have no sense except to, we're going to change America and we're going to make them pay. And, you know, that's why they're investigating Trump still, because they're going to make him pay. And, you know, that's why Biden undid everything that Trump did, because he's going to make America pay for wanting Trump. You know, see, this is the way this is today with these people. Make them pay. Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and all these other moronic females that are up there as our legislators. These women need to be chucked out on their head because they're crazy. They shouldn't be in there. And Rashida, isn't she the one that was the Somalia? Which one's from Somalia?
Ilhan Omar.
Ilhan Omar, yeah, she's up there. And she was actually a member of, I forgot which.
Somali terrorist organization.
Yeah.
Group.
And so now she's in Congress, and she was also paying people to vote for her. We know that because of a video that was done. You know, this is how these people are getting in Congress. We have this wickedness, this immorality going on everywhere. And then they turn around and proceed to tell us that it's the white race. When you go into Nigeria, it's not the white race. If you want to talk colors, it definitely ain't white. And if you want to go into China, slaughtering Christians there or throwing them in jail, tearing down their churches, it's not a white issue. If you go to North Korea, they may look a little white, but it's not a white man from America. It's some little short fat guy over there in North Korea doing it. You can go around the world and you can find the problem is not, you know, you have a lot of different kinds of skin colors that are causing the issues. But the issue is not the yellow skin or the black skin or the white skin or whatever skin you may think it is. It is that which is within. And this is global sin. This is lawlessness that Paul warned about. This is where this thing is today. And it's heading into delusion. It's heading into total deception.
Pride and iniquity is what they're full of.
So,
wickedness.
At any rate. And of course, we do have something on North Korea. And Tower has quite a bit on this. I was wondering.
Well, you have one first.
Yeah, I know. But I was thinking about it because I'd like to get both of those parts in, but we may not be able to because that would probably work out better coming back next week with part two anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the Joshua Project, who covers unreached people, was talking about, and they do this, they highlight several groups. So if you're ever wondering about unreached peoples, go to joshuaproject.net. And they introduce it as the Koreans of North and South Korea have distinctive Mongolian features. And the Mongols were great warriors. Make no mistake about it. And Korean is the national language of both of them, but they have many Chinese root, you know, the root of the word. Hmm. And I find this interesting, and it's not just North Korea. We find this in many countries that oppress Christians. Officially, the North Korean Constitution gives political power to the people. However, real political power belongs to the Communist Party. And the Constitution guarantees rights of freedom of the press, religion, and speech. And, of course, in North Korea, they don't have those.
Yeah.
You see, this is the issue here. And you can go into India, which is supposed to be one of the largest democracies. It's not free. The Christians are persecuted. They're not left alone. You can get into Pakistan, which also guarantees religious freedom. But that religious freedom only extends so far. In America, we can take our religious freedom, go to the Supreme Court. But other countries, they don't have that. So that's North Korea. They have a constitution. But see, we find that constitution like that in a lot of these countries.
Doesn't do them one bit of good.
And so they went on to describe kind of their social life, saying arranged marriages, which that happens a lot, especially throughout Africa and in India and in Pakistan. Now, marital bonds, well, divorce was infrequent, you know, so they stuck together. Education is free and mandatory for the first 11 years. Hmm. And if you want to go on, you have to have the approval of the Communist Party. And that's not new.
No.
China practices the same thing. So if you're in this, North Korea, there's not a lot of freedom. All your entertainment is supported and controlled by the government. All your news is supported and controlled by the government. If you're an artist or anything creative, the only thing that you can do is stuff that's okayed by the communist. And of course, most of their diet is rice with maybe a little bit of fish, vegetables, or fruit. Well, we know for a fact that... kimchi, you've heard of kimchi. That's kind of a North and South Korea Chinese type thing. That's why a lot of the North Koreans are so skinny. They don't get anything fat. Of course, rice is not good for you. But a majority of the world, that's what they eat, is rice. It's hard to get fat and do much of anything on just rice, but a lot of the world does. And it makes you wonder how Kim Jong-un got so fat.
Yeah, he probably gets in a lot of Western-type food, has a Westernized diet.
So at any rate, we know that in North Korea, there are believers. We know because of the organizations... That work in these areas have identified real churches there. Of course, they're not known. And so there is that underground church, a way that they do it. And Tower is going to be reading... a testimony from a woman that escaped. And we get these from time to time. So go ahead, Tower.
Well, this is also about a man as well. Lee Wo-chan, now in his 50s, is one of the thousands of North Koreans who grew up in a Christian family without knowing it. And if a North Korean faith is discovered... they and their generation and three generations of their families face prison, physical and mental torture, and even death. And he goes on to say, I knew my parents were different. Everybody called them communist parents because they took care of the sick, the poor, and the needy. At night, they read from a secret book, which I wasn't allowed to read from. But I heard them whisper the words, and I knew it was their source of wisdom. I also knew that if I ever talked about this to someone else, our whole family would be taken away. And Lee's mother came to faith before the Second World War, during the time that Korea was one country and Japan ruled it. When dictator Kim Il-sung came to power after the war, Christian persecution in North Korea started, and churches were closed down. And Lee escaped from his native country in the late 90s. His mother came out after some time, too. And he describes their meeting after they were able to get together. It was a very emotional moment to meet her in China for the first time. For the first time, my mother could tell me all the things that she had kept a secret from me for over 30 years. She took my hand and brought me to an empty house church. There she told me how she became a Christian in 1935 when she was 9, that her parents had been Christians too, and how everybody served each other during the Japanese occupation of Korea. She longed for those days. She explained how Christ came to the world and died for all of us. She told me everything I needed to know about our faith. Then she gave birth to me, but that I was actually God's child. He will protect you and he will give you a place to live. Believe in him. Be faithful. Your eternal life starts from here. And he said his mother started to pray aloud, even shouting. She prayed for 3 hours, sweat covering her entire body. She prayed for me, for North Korea and the people of North Korea. And she pleaded with the Lord to save her people. And later, his mother and his brother, who had also come to China, went back to North Korea. They had no idea someone had betrayed them. And when they crossed the river, 4 hidden soldiers appeared. One hit Lee's mother with the rifle and killed her instantly. His brother was stabbed to death with bayonets. And Lee witnessed the murders from the other side of the river. He later learned that his father and other siblings were arrested and murdered too. The young man who had been prayed over by his mother was able to reach South Korea, eventually fulfilling his mother's wish by becoming a pastor and following Jesus. And they have 3 reasons for silent faith. It's ongoing indoctrination. From cradle to grave and from morning till evening, every North Korean citizen is subjected to indoctrination all day through television, radio channels, newspapers, and even loudspeakers. Propaganda is poured out on them. And one of the first words North Korean parents must teach their children are the words, "Thank you, Father Kim Il-sung." At school, they learn about the Kim family and their wonderful deeds. They bow in reverence to statues and images. Through books and animation movies, they are taught that Christians are evil spies who kidnap, torture, and kill innocent Korean children and then sell their blood and organs. The second reason is it's too risky. They fear every day for their life in North Korea. But children are not always aware of security. They can accidentally sing a song or tell their friends a particular Bible school story. At school, teachers may ask if their parents read from a certain black book. Sharing the gospel is extremely dangerous. And 3, they have nobody to tell them. Sadly, in North Korea, tens of thousands of children, even more, have become homeless because their Christian families were torn apart by death, arrests, or other tragedies. Sometimes someone is able to reach China but unable to return. The hard North Korean life has broken up countless families, scarring the surviving children for life. And are there no Christians in North Korea at all? By God's grace, there are a few. Oftentimes, they accidentally discover the gospel. And this is about Kim Sang-ha. And she found a Bible in a hidden closet. And she said, "When I was 12, I accidentally found it. I don't know why, but I started to feel inside that cabinet with my hand. And when I felt a book, I pulled it out. I opened the book and began to read, 'In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.'" She began to shiver and drop the book. She said she was so scared. "I was taught about the evolution theory, so I knew this book was illegal. My discovery could cost me my life. I was afraid to touch the Bible, but I couldn't just leave it there. I closed my eyes, picked up the book, and put it back. I weighed my options. Should I tell my teacher? Should I visit the local security office official? For 15 days, I couldn't think of anything else. I knew it was my duty to report this illegal book, but it was my family that was involved. And I also had all these questions. Who is God or what?" And so part two is later. The rest continues in part two.
Well, you know, these stories are true to life. We have another one talking about Aisha, who is originally born in Amman, Jordan.
This is amazing, this story.
And, of course, her family was strictly Islamic, which Amman, Jordan, that's what they are. Now, it's really funny when you talk about the king of Jordan. He actually seems to be one of the more friendlier leaders in the Middle East over there. And her family moved to the U.S. Now, I find this kind of interesting. Now, Jordan has been a friend pretty much with the U.S., so that's probably how she got here. And when they did get there, she accidentally got pregnant at 17. This is America. Of course, you know how that went over with her father. And according to Islamic culture, he was supposed to kill her, obligated to kill her for dishonoring the family. And so she went and got an abortion. And she carried the shame of abortion. She didn't like it. But in Islam, though, her sins were unforgivable. And she had been taught that she was hated by Allah. And all of that, of course, brings you one thing: depression and suicide.
Yep.
And, you know, when you're facing depression and suicide, you look for hope. You look for forgiveness. You want a way out. And so she was crying out to Allah for mercy to help her out. Now, see, I'm going to stop for a minute here. Many, many years ago, I covered the conversion of an imam who was preaching, who was praying by himself, where he was the imam in his, I don't know what part of the building he was in, but he was in there praying. And while he was praying, he was crying out to Allah for, there were some things that were going on, and he wanted deliverance. And, well, to make a long story short, he got an answer, but it was from the Lord Jesus Christ, who told him he was the true and the living God, not Allah. So this imam, and this was an extensive experience, turned around. Now, see, if you get back to now Aisha, she's crying out to Allah the same way. And guess what? She heard an audible word that said Jesus. And she turned her prayers to Jesus. Now, see, she said she felt peace right away. Now, see, it's interesting to note. Now, the Muslims believe that in Jesus as a prophet, but not as the Son of God. So it's not unusual. I mean, the Catholics pray to all kinds of saints. You know, we're to go to the Father through the Son. We're not to be praying to saints or anybody else. But see, the thing of it is that after she got doing that, that was the peace, see, that she felt from praying to Jesus. And she did discover the Lord. And she found his mercy and compassion. And there, you know, she said there is such a contrast between the Islamic religion and how they treat women to how Jesus treated women. You saw Jesus walk up to women with an element of tenderness, and you know, the woman at the well, the woman who had a bleeding disorder, Jesus called her daughter, and that was huge for me to read, because in Islam, women aren't regarded highly at all. Now, you and I have talked about that, the way they treat their women.
And she was really abused by her dad as well. And he said terrible things to her, too, that no, you shouldn't say to anybody.
And so, you know, when you see how many people in the world are Islamic, but behind that or in that are people that have human needs.
That's right.
It's all the same, whether you're Islamic or not. You need food and clothing and shelter. You like to be treated right. But this is really a great story. And, you know, some of those that we are contacted by that we track closely, and some of the organizations that we work a little more closely with as far as privately, we see what is happening overseas. And it's an amazing thing how God is moving in these tough areas.
That's right. Thank God.
And so as things get tougher in America, God has not changed. See, that's the lesson you take from this. The Lord is in every nation on earth. It doesn't matter whether you have the communists that don't like him or not. It doesn't matter that America is backsliding. It doesn't matter anything. What matters is if you desire the Lord, he will make a way for you. Period. And we see him doing that.
Yes, amen.
And of course, we've got a little more time. I doubt we're going to have time enough for that thing, but let's look at this one. And this comes out of Kenya. And you have a woman living in eastern Uganda. And of course, her and her husband had some kids. Her husband ends up getting killed. So the widow flees with her kids. And she flees to Kenya. Well, Muslim extremists had been burning down the homes of various believers. There was the widow, a convert from Islam, was beheaded. I mean, when you look at this, it's hard to believe that these Muslim extremists will do that. Now you see, the woman, her husband is the one that was beheaded. So the woman and her children who had fled returned, but the house had been destroyed, so friends helped to build it. And they moved into it, and knowing the calls to prayer, they had called early morning prayers at 3:30 earlier. At 4 o'clock, she heard people outside her door. And she and the children escaped out of the back of the house, and they broke into a neighbor's home and hid in the bedroom. And, of course, they lit her house on fire. You know, these people have no soul at all.
No, they don't.
And that's the hatred, because Islam, as taught by some of these imams, you know, they can twist this. I mean, there's no love, there's no compassion. And it's so they try to get justified by the Quranic law. Well, there's no law on the face of this earth whereby men are going to be justified. And that includes the Jewish law, the Torah. Now, we follow it, but you're not at all justified for your sins. There's only one way for that, and that's through Christ. By the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. And if you keep your law and leave off justice as far as love and compassion, you can only know those things through Christ, truly.
That's right.
And I think when we see this, see what's happening around the globe, we can really see the extent of this division and hatred in the world.
Yes, we can. It's horrible. You know what I find disturbing? Is that Muslims make up no more than 12% of Uganda's population, with the higher concentrations in the eastern area of the country. But why isn't anybody trying to stop them? Why don't they do anything about it?
Because most of the groups that are doing it have more money. Many of the Christians are poor. And many of them have been taught not to resist.
I know. I think it's just,
you know,
I don't think like they do, because I'm westernized, I guess you would say.
It's a total different lifestyle.
Yeah. I can't judge them. I just don't like it.
You go through, you know, all these countries we talk about. 9 times out of 10, Christians don't resist. And there is a scripture that says you kill the just and he does not resist you. That's a scripture out of the Tanakh.
Well, the government won't do anything to stop them either.
No, they won't.
That's what's so disturbing.
Well, yeah, I know. I've been following it. You have too. Jonathan Goodluck Johnson was a Christian president in Nigeria and he didn't stop it. Now Buhari, who's a Fulani, and it's the Fulani who are some of the worst purveyors of violence against Christians and killing them. Nobody stops them. But a lot of these groups, like the Fulani, trade in illegal things. They have more money, they have better weapons, and they're more mobile, and they can do a lot more than the government can. And they attack Christian villages, and they will kill and rape and pillage and kidnap as many as they can. That's what they do. That's their modus operandi.
Yeah, they're horrible.
So we're going to have to get out of here. So
okay. Thank you for joining us whenever you do. And be sure to pray for your brothers and for our brothers and sisters around the world. And we pray for you and pray for us. We love you and we hope the best for you. Stay safe. And look to the Lord in all your needs. He will take care of you. Good night, everybody.
Shalom, everybody. Be sure to check out our websites at warn-usa.com, danaglynsmith.com. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, the covering of the persecuted church on this show today. In Jesus' name, you are bound from this. Father, let this show go forward. Let the people hear and understand. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.